Lord Jesus, thank you that you're ever present, Lord Father God, ever loving, ever merciful, ever gracious, Lord Jesus, and that you're a just God as well, Lord Father God. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word. It's a living word, Lord Jesus. You are the word. And we just pray, Lord, this morning that you'll speak through me, your vessel, speak to me and each one listening to this message today. May it be a word spoken in power and spirit and truth. Any word which is not of you, cut off, may it not even be on the tip of the tongue. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give each one of us attentive ears. May we be open to what you're speaking to us about this morning, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, unfortunately, this gym's eating into my preach time. It's going to be 2 hours now instead of 2.5 hours, so you should be tucking into your roast about 3:30 each time. So before I bring this morning's message, I'm going to share you a story, and that's got some relevance, so bear with me. And it's sort of a story which happened, it's a true story, happened to me earlier on this year. Now, whoever has harebrained schemes, I have a few of them, and I had one at the beginning of the year when Rachel and I were looking at our finances, our budget, incomings versus outgoings. I thought, what can we do to sort of tighten up the purse strings, and it was pretty obvious that we had this big gym subscription hanging around our necks. You know, when I was younger, believe it or not, I was quite fit and trim, and I used to go to the gym quite a lot, but as family and kids came in and work commitments, we weren't really getting the time. We had this big silly gym subscription, we weren't going, so we thought, right, we'll cancel our gym membership. But I thought, well, I quite like to keep fit, try and keep active, chase after the kids, so I thought I'd buy myself one of these cross-trainer things. So anyway, to cut a long story short, I found one on eBay, really good price and a good deal, and I won it. The snag was I had to go and get it, this big bit of kit, about 40 miles away, somewhere in Buckinghamshire. So anyway, I thought I could do that, and I asked for any willing volunteers, and Ryan, bless him, put his hand up and said, I'll help you, and he gave up his Saturday morning. So anyway, I had to hire a van, because this thing was big and wouldn't fit in the boot, and I went to go and collect it at the van hire shop, and they said, right, you have to bring it back the next day with the same amount of petrol. I thought, oh, great. Won't be that much petrol. Anyway, I got into the van and it was empty. I thought, oh, I don't want to fill this big van of petrol. It's going to defeat the whole object trying to sort of save a bit of money. So anyway, I picked up Ryan Saturday morning. We're off on a little trip. And I thought, I'd better go into the petrol station on the M25. And I went into the petrol station. And I thought, how much do I put in? I don't want to fill up this big van. So I thought, well, put about 18 quid in, that's quite a lot, that'll do us. Another 20 miles and then 40 miles back, great, job done. So eventually we get this massive bit of kit in the van and almost break our backs. Ryan's still got a few dodgy ligaments, I think, resulted from it. And we're on the way back and I was looking at this van and the red fuel gauge came on. I thought, what? Put £18 worth of this thing? It's on red. Anyway, I got managed to get on the M23, and I was thinking, I haven't even mentioned this to Ryan, I thought, we'll be all right. Anyway, I started noticing the van started juggling around a little bit. And bear in mind, Ryan was off, he had a very important family party that afternoon, a big, big special occasion. I said to Ryan, I think we're running out of petrol. He goes, oh, don't worry, Mark, it's all in your head, it's all in your head. All right. And this thing started jugging around. Right, I don't think it's in my head. I think we're genuinely running out of petrol. He goes, no, it's all in your head, Mark. It's fine. This happened to me loads of times. Well, the moment of truth came when the electrics went and the steering disengaged and the engine shut down. And I was in the middle of the M23 and went, Ryan, we're definitely running out of petrol. And sort of the fifth time he goes, yeah, I think you have. So we eventually had to sort of get this vehicle into the hard shoulder. And we were sat there thinking, oh, no. And I'll never forget being sat somewhere around where probably Colin was, about 8 years ago or something like that. I remember Ian's dad, Mike Tapp, saw him last week. He did a talk here, and he gave this testimony about, I can't remember the gist, but I remember he broke down, and something wrong with his car, and all of a sudden, somebody else broke down behind him, and here's something wrong with his car, and what happened was, they managed to swap bits of kit, and both cars drove off, and I thought, oh, this is great, I'm looking forward to a great testimony now, I'm looking forward to a miracle. Car, come on, what a miracle. Nothing happened. Just praying. Come on, Lord, I can trust you, nothing happened. And eventually I said to Ryan, I think we need to get some petrol. So, no good Samaritan drove past us. Mike Tapp wasn't in the country, so he wasn't miraculously there to pull off and give us a fuel tank. Anyway, so we had to eventually call up the emergency services, and eventually they came down and we had to pay for some more petrol, and off we went. Unfortunately, Ryan didn't even make his family do, which I was very gutted about. Anyway, the moral of the story was, I should have filled the tank up a bit more, shouldn't I? I was driving on an empty tank. I didn't put enough fuel in the vehicle. So that leads me on to this morning's message, is how full is your faith tank? If you can sort of use that analogy of the petrol gauge and the petrol tank, if your faith at the moment, and we were to get a, do a such thing as a faith tank on our sort of a dial on our head or on our chest or something, where would it be at the moment? Would it be full, which it should have been when I filled it into the petrol station and wasn't being a bit tight and should have filled it up, or is it halfway? Or is it flatlining like my silly van a few months ago? You might ask, well, is faith measurable? You know, can you measure faith? Well, I think you can. There's a few verses to sort of confirm that. And, you know, I think it's, I brought a word a few months ago under the sort of back to basics sort of theme I'm bringing. And I think this is another part of the back to the basics message around faith. You might think, Mark, why do you keep talking about this back to basics stuff? Why is it important? And I quite like my little football analogies, so bear with me again. You know, there's teams at the moment trying to be the best team, like Barcelona. They're trying to do funky, whizzy plays and trying to copy this amazing team. But sometimes by doing that, they forget the basics of the game, like defend. And you get teams like Manchester United at the moment who are under new management trying to do new stuff. But at the moment, they're leaking goals. And you listen to the commentators and they're saying they need to get back to basics team. If they want to win, they need to defend properly. Then they can do the fancy stuff at the other end of the field. And I think that's the same with our Christian walk. We shouldn't lose hold of the basic truths which God wants us to live each day. Amen. So is faith measurable? In Romans 12, 2-4, and I'll quickly rattle through these, so if you get time, you can put them on the screen. Romans 12, 2-4. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one as a measure of our faith. So it's saying as a measure of our faith. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 15. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labours, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. So it's saying, if your faith's increased, that in effect is telling me that there's a measure. It can decrease, increase, and if it's increasing, your faith should be getting fuller. And we are aware that there's lots of occasions, if you read the Gospels, where Jesus is talking about faith, and one of them says, it's a, you know, famous account where the on the boat of disciples and the storm comes, but he said to them, Jesus, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Little faith. He's pointing out they got little faith. On the flip side, when Jesus comes across the centurion, whose servant's sick, and the centurion's saying, well, you're not worthy to come into my house, just say the command. Jesus' response was, assuredly I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So I personally believe faith is measurable. Amen? Are we in agreement? empty, full, halfway. It's really important. One thing which is really important to remember when we're talking about faith is God is ever faithful. Amen? Yeah. Psalm 119 says, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides." Amen. Endures all generations. That means it's constant. It's the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. Lamentations, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And finally, Paul writes to Corinthians, "God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So where our faith might shrink and go up and down, God is ever faithful. Amen. Amen. He's not like us. We shouldn't think of God through sometimes a human lens. He's completely different. He's ever faithful. So you might be thinking, well, what is faith? If you look at sort of the worldly definition in a dictionary, it says complete trust or confidence in something or someone. Now I'm going to quote a definition of a faith from an American pastor, which I found. I thought it was quite useful. "Faith is not blind trust because we know the one who is leading. Faith is still trusting what is not seen and believing our God. It combines belief with trust. We are to believe in Christ, not just about him. Faith provides the substance and essence of our relationship with our Lord. It looks to our future. It is our hope. Faith is a two-way street. We receive it from God and respond back as trust. It would be like a lake which has a source and an outlet. If we only have an outlet, we would dry up. If we just have a source, we can become like a dead sea, lifeless and void." It's a two-way thing. I thought it was a great definition. Of course, the best definition you can ever get is when it's defined in the Bible. I'm going to read a large piece of scripture, so you have to bear with me, but I think it's important, which really sets the context of faith. And we're going to read Hebrews chapter 11. This is so important to grasp, the importance of faith. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith you understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to his faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assumed of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they called to mind that country from which they come out, they would have not had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him as a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he destroy the first bunch that touched them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies of peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah also, David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered the deserts and mountains, and dens and caves of the earth. And all these things obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should have made perfect again from us. I'll just read a few verses of chapter 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. It's the word of God, and I know it's quite a lot to take in, but I think it's really emphasised the importance of faith, which is the main thrust of today's message. You know, I think without operating in faith, we cannot function according to God's will. It was only by those people we've read about, the men and women of God, it was only through their faith that they were able to fulfill those things. Obviously God undertook for them, they were able to fulfill those plans and purposes. But if their faith in God was diminished or non-existent, they wouldn't have been able to deliver those things. You know, Corinthians reminds us that we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's our calling as a Christian. And we were talking about it in our 18 to 30s group. You know, God chooses not to give us the whole roadmap of what he's going to do in our lives. He chooses not to give us the answers, the rationale sometimes. He doesn't give us a blow-by-blow account of what every step's going to happen. Sometimes he reveals plans and purposes. And we studied about Moses when God very clearly and articulated what was going to happen when he who's going to try and rescue the Israelites from Egyptians. He foretold Moses what was going to happen around Pharaoh's reaction, the plagues, etc., etc. But sometimes God doesn't give you complete insight. He'll give you a snapshot of his insight. But that's where faith kicks in. And God chooses that. So why are we to question it? We may sit here today thinking, I want the whole picture, God. But God, if God hasn't given you it, and you've sought it, and you've fasted and prayed, and God hasn't revealed the whole picture, and believe he'll give you a picture, he'll give you an insight where you're going, that's where we need to rely on him in faith. Amen. And the people which we read about, they had a barometer at the time of, you know, where's their faith levels. More often than not, it was pretty full. But these people are human beings like us as well, and there are times where these great men and women of God, their faith levels were low and high. And that's quite encouraging for us. You know, we're just mere human beings, but with God we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We shouldn't fall in condemnation, we should repent and move on. But they were no more powerful than us. They just chose to dwell in God's presence maybe more than us sometimes. But they were human beings just like us. Amen? You know, and as the word says, we can go on and on and on about the people, examples of faith. And I've got a few examples. I'm just going to pick out a few. And I think Peter's a really good example of where he was on full on fire, fully faithed up in his tank and sometimes empty. You know, when he stepped out the boat and saw Jesus coming before him in Matthew chapter 14, he had full of faith. God said, come. The command was, come. And he stepped out the boat and he walked on water. But then in an instant, his faith levels went from, well, not like me on the M23, it went from pretty full to empty and stopped. He sunk because he looked to the cares of the world. He chose to look at the cares of the world rather than God, and he sunk. You know, Stephen's a really good example of a man of faith in Acts 6, verses 4 to 6. It emphasizes his faith. It says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And later on in Acts 6, verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. It's no coincidence these men and women were full of faith. And that's what our aspirations should be. And I think when you look at the accounts of miracles, Jesus' response is, all the times your sins are forgiven, but also your faith has brought you healing. You know, when we talked about the centurion, when Jesus healed the paralytic's son, he said to the paralytic's son, your sins are forgiven. And it says, when he saw their faith. What's Jesus seeing our faith levels today? Is he seeing full, medium, or empty? And we know a lot about the Israelites. I know I've talked about a lot about the Israelites in the past. They wandered around the wilderness because of their lack of faith. They wandered around there for 40 years because of their lack of faith. But the good news is, when they were full of faith, God used them and moved them. I love the account when they're building the tabernacle and they all throw all their possessions. They were full of faith. They didn't question, oh, what happens this? They were full of faith. But what I think is really important is we should always be mindful of what's God's insight in this. You know, when Peter stepped out the boat, God said, stand out the boat, and he did it. When when Noah was told to build the ark, he was told to build the ark, and he did it. So I think that definition we read at the beginning, faith is not a blind thing. It's direct correlation with God and the word of God. And that has to be established. You know, you can't just sort of imagination, I want to just do this, I'm just going to believe it. You have to know what God's plans have been established. And I think that's where God then relies on our faith to kick in. And of course, we have trials. We've been singing about it and praying about it this morning, that, you know, God is our rock in times of trouble. And in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, some sort of practical teaching around that. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But the patience of its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, it's interesting, the faith is the springboard of that, that activity of making perfect. It started off by the faith. So God chooses sometimes to put us through trials and tribulations, to strengthen us, to make us more whole, to he wants us to mirror his character, and sometimes he chooses to put us through those fiery trials, which aren't pleasant, but by having our faith and testing our faith and letting our faith grow, we become more like Jesus. And again, in a non-Christian mind, that doesn't make sense. Oh, if you're God, why do you have to put you through the trials and tribulations? Why don't you just make you super faith beforehand? But that's the world's eyes. God chooses to do it a different way. And in 2 Peter, chapter 1, yeah, 2 to 9. So, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Jesus our Lord, as his divine power is given to all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, what's interesting is the springboard is faith. Add to your faith, and it goes on to those things. You can't just jump to brotherly love and brotherly kindness. You need to have that faith as a springboard. The exciting thing is we don't have to just make it happen ourselves. God is our helper. Amen. Amen. I believe the closer you are to God, the stronger your faith will be. So the closer you are to God, the stronger your faith will be. And the greater awareness you are of God's will, the stronger your faith will be. So the more aware you are of God's will in your life, I believe your faith will grow. If you've got not a clue what God's doing in your life, you don't understand whether you're in God's perfect will today, I don't believe your faith levels will be strong. Also, if you're completely in sin and you're running against God's will, then I believe you're operating in blind faith. Yeah. It's all about, hopefully this. And we don't want to be in a position where, you know, we're in blind worldly faith. So, Jesus foreknew that we needed to be full of faith. It's not an automatic thing. You're not constantly on, like a car. You buy a car in the car showroom, or you buy it from a second-hand dealer. The car's never permanently full. If it would be a great, but it's not. It runs out of petrol after a while, and you have to go and fill it up. And I think, as I study this, Paul, especially in his epistles, and Jesus, constantly praying, reminding people about their faith levels. You know, how often am I, how often are you praying for your brother and sister about their faith levels? Leaders, how often are we doing that? Timely reminder for me. But how often are we self-examining? Or we check this if you've got a car, you have to do it quite often. But how often are we doing it in our own lives? How full is my faith? Because if your faith is full, I'm sure your Christian walk will be completely different. So I talked about We don't have to do it alone. God has given us a helper, as he promised in John 14, verses 15. As Jesus was sort of preparing to die and lead the disciples, he promised them a helper. Verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." God promised us his Spirit, and Paul Carter, if you were here last week, spoke about that. Really good message. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, if we read in Galatians 5, verse 22, is faithfulness. It's one of the fruits. So, if the Holy Spirit is indwelling on us and we're living by the Spirit, our faith levels, by default, will be full. And in Ephesians 6, verses 16, when we talk about the armour of God, he's given us that armour, the shield of faith. Again, he's saying it'll quench out the fiery darts. So we have a foe, don't we? We have the enemy who wants us to rob and destroy. He wants to rob and destroy your faith levels. He wants you to be gripped by fear. He wants you to be gripped by anxiety. He wants you to give up and think, what's the point? He wants you to think, well, I might as well just jack it all in and live like a worldly sense. I might as well just enjoy, live for the moment and have a great time. You know, I've only got 20 or 30 years left. I might as well just go for it. That's what the world is telling today. It's amazing. You speak to people, oh, you might as well just live for the moment. That's what the devil wants you to do. But no, God wants us to have that eternal hope in him. Amen. So, you know, Jesus recognized it, and the disciples recognized it, and we should. Jesus said, "Luke, I pray for you that your faith should not fail." He's praying to the Father that their faith level should not fail. And the disciples I'm just going to read out a few verses. Luke 17, they said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And in Timothy, when Paul's writing Timothy, chapter 6, verse 11, "But you, O man of God, flee these things," talking about the worldly things, "and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." Pursue. Paul's writing to a young, godly man, Timothy. He recognizes there's going to be sort of trials and temptations, but he says, pursue it. You know, what's on our pursue list today? What's on our list we're trying to attain? We can get caught up, as I do, worldly things, what we're trying to chase, plans, dreams, etc. But what should be on top of our list? You know, should be something which we're striving, attaining for all the time. And Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 11, ask, seek, and knock. So he's going to give very liberally the things which please him. So God was very pleased with Solomon when he said, you can have anything you want. And he said, I want wisdom. That pleased God. He could have said, I want all the riches in the world. If you say, God, when you wake up, God, fill me with faith. Fill me with love for my brother. He's not going to hold those things back to you, is he? He's going to give it liberally. It might take time. He might have to put you through a trial to undertake that undertaking of test your faith, increase it, grow it. But if you ask for those godly things, he will give it liberally. How often are we asking for those things? Because without faith, we cannot fully operate. So as we sort of come to a conclusion, so how are we to live our lives? For the Holy Spirit, using the armour of God. And Psalm 37 reminds us, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So the message here today is, this is not a one-off thing. It's not, you know, buy something, you've got a lifetime set of petrol in your tank. It's something you have to constantly make a conscious effort and pursue and obtain. And in Romans, the just shall live by faith. We have to live by faith. That's a command. It can be hard sometimes. It can be absolutely almost break us to the bone sometimes. But God will only allow situations which he believes we can, you know, cope with. But we'll come out of our faith level stronger. Finally, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you'll have tribulation 10 days. But faith, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So, today, how full is your faith tank? Is it bursting? Is it overflowing? Are you even aware of your faith levels? How often are you seeking to fill it? Do you sort of sometimes just run on fumes and think, oh, you know, how did I get there? Are you consciously examining your heart? What are your priorities? So those things which Paul's writing to the fellow Christians about, I'm praying for your faith, obtain it, strive for this. Are we doing that today? If so, that letter, epistle, is almost a letter to us today as Christians. Are we heeding that instruction? Leaders, are we praying for the flock, for their faith levels, as Paul very tangibly saying, I'm praying for you in faith. And that one last bit of scripture as we conclude. 1 John 5. Verse 4 to 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen. Amen. Now, the subject of faith, you could be go to Bible school for months and months and months. So tonight is a sort of a summary overview of faith. And I encourage you to study it more in your own personal time. But our faith in God is a cornerstone of our Christian walk. And I trust and pray that you'll examine your heart today. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that we don't have to put our trust in worldly possessions, in earthly governments or kingdoms, etc., Lord, but we can put our trust, eternal trust in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we've learned the importance of having that strong faith as those mighty men and women of God in your word had, Lord Jesus. But we are conscious, Lord, that sometimes our faith levels can fluctuate. Even to the most mature Christian, Lord, they blew it sometimes, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be strong. Those who are undertaking trials and tribulations this very moment, Lord, they're happening for a reason. And I just pray, Lord, that their faith levels will remain strong, that you'll use this process, Lord, to make them more in your image, your character. But, Lord, we pray again that acknowledge that you're a God of power, a God of healing and undertaking. All authority belongs to you, Lord. And Lord, where there are strongholds, where there's tribulations, sickness, financial concerns, Lord, I just pray, Lord, if according to your will, you'll just break through and bring release, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, where anything is holding our faith level back, whether it's sin or willfully going against your will, Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, as we examine ourselves, you'll be gracious enough to reveal that to us, Lord. And thank you that you're a merciful, forgiving God. And you encourage us to repent and move on in no condemnation. Lord, as we as a church, as a body, as we undertake our own faith venture about this church extension, Lord, and all that goes with it, we're still believing that it's of you, Lord. And I just pray you increase our faith levels as we undertake this project. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.